just amazing as well. Again, on the return team, he's grossed one return touchdown. Again, a 95-yard touchdown. Then we go to his secondary, his nemesis, his partner in crime, number 86, Thomas Baldwin, 327 yards. Came up big with a reception last game that set up that touchdown off the tackle from Chris Perkins. And then, again, just the core is so deep. We're talking about guys like Jason Baldridge, Colin Pearson, Perkins adds some on the receiving end as well. Shakir Pascal acts as that little dump off, and then Joey Scott has seen a little bit of action just at that tight end position. So very, very hardcore receiving team for the Greyhounds, Jesse, but there is one big name player for Pike, and man, is he talented.
And his name is Dominic Booth. You're going to hear plenty from him. Number one, sitting at 6'1", 203, a senior. He's going to Tennessee next year after he's finished with his high school career. Absolutely dynamic receiver. Big plays, clutch plays, even the routine plays, he makes it look exciting. And you also look at his quarterback, Brent Lyles, a senior here, 6'3", 190 pounds. Anytime you have a quarterback that throws in the high 50s to upwards of 60% completion percentage, it makes it that much easier on his receivers and the playmakers such as Dominic Booth.
And here's the upper edge for Pike offense. If they want to come in and potentially win this game, they have to play together much better than the Greyhounds. Lyles and Booth are so dynamic. Actually, Dominique Booth will come in and play that wildcat position. He'll shotgun the team. Look for him on the read options. He's incredible. The sweeps, you're going to see triple options. All these things that you've never seen before, and I can't even stop talking. It's so exciting. But switch it over now here. Carmel has got to get their rhythm down offensively. They have got to make the rolls very, very confusing for the defense. Folks, 70% of the time, the Greyhounds come out and run on first down. They bring in Isaac James, kind of as that rushing quarterback on first and second down. But then they bring in John Lampe, and everybody knows what they're going to do. When you bring in Isaac James, he's going to run the ball. When you bring in John Lampe, he's going to pass. Key to victory for the Greyhounds, they have to stay unpredictable, Jesse.
And we're just about ready to set the kickoff here. A packed house, as we've said this before, the biggest games call for the biggest stages. And obviously this one is no exception to that rule. The Carmel Greyhounds are actually going to come out in an alternate uniform. If you are out there in the crowd, you're going to be able to see these kind of a dark charcoal gray. Considering the blue and gold and the white that we're so used to seeing, a different look for the Carmel Greyhounds tonight.
And so one of the things that we've been mentioning quite a bit is this ESPN factor here. How are both of these teams going to come out and handle this? Obviously, a big game on national television, and we're seeing our school. It is so cool to be able to announce and broadcast this game, and I'm sure the Pike stands are filled as well. If you look out over the booth, you can see that the Carmel stands are just filled. There's not another inch of room here on the stadium. It's incredibly insane. A lot of familiar faces in the crowd, former alumnus coming back here for this big time game, Jesse. I am so excited, and it's going to be a big game where seniors have to step up, and a senior that's going to step up tonight is John Lampe, and he's going to try to quarterback his team to victory tonight. He's got to come out and he's got to throw the ball. He's got to come out with the confidence that we have never seen before. He is leading up to this game, and I believe that this is that breakout game for John Lampe. I believe that people are going to remember tonight's performance because of John Lampe.
And the Carmel Greyhounds will be receiving the opening kickoff here. And this is a formation of kickoff-wise we have not seen from them. They have one lone returner way back towards the goal line, and that is Chris Perkins. And then two return men kind of up by the 15-yard line. That is Roberts and Zach Woods. As the kickoff is up and away towards the right sideline, and Roberts will take it at the 15-yard line. Heads up the middle of the field. Hits a couple blockers there. Bounces out left side of the field. 35-yard line, 40-yard line. He's going to be leveled out of bounds at the 40, but already showing off that speed is Austin Roberts.
And a good thing, too, because Austin Roberts almost got stopped at around the 30-yard line, was able to bounce off one of his blockers, made it out to the left side, was able to run up that sideline and get some extra yards. Hey, another heads-up play for Austin Roberts.
And now this offense is going to come out in the field with 11:52 remaining in the first quarter, just underway, and Isaac James trots out as the starting quarterback for the Carmel Greyhounds. He'll be lined up off that left hash at the 41-yard line. And James coming out in true shotgun formation, five wide set, three out to his left. Very uncharacteristic from what we've seen from the Greyhounds, but takes a snap, looks over screen to Perkins. That one's tipped, still gets it, and he's actually going to drop that one at about the 40-yard line. But different already offensive schemes for the Carmel Greyhounds.
Exactly, and we like to see that again, the complexity. I like the call, too. Let Isaac James air it out a little bit. Folks, this is important. He had three interceptions last game against Warren Central. So he's obviously struggled from the passing realm. but doing a better job tonight. They're already giving him some calls, and Chris Perkins with a drop. He hasn't been very, very hot from that receiving end these past few games as well.
Four wide set now for the Hounds. Still in the shotgun with Perkins in the backfield. They split the difference on the receivers. Looking left, finds Roberts. That one's going to tip off the top of his hand out of bounds. And two passing attempts already from Isaac James after only having about 12 all season. Sets up a third and 10.
And so now we're seeing John Lampe jog onto the field, kind of that predictable set. We didn't expect to see Isaac James throw it two times, and so I like the gutsy call. You're keeping the defense on their toes. We definitely didn't expect it, and we've been following them all season. So just imagine a team who's only really gotten some looks on that video feed that Carmel sends to Pike. So obviously a good call there.
Same formation set as Lampe has time to throw. Looking over the left side, finds Roberts at the sideline. He's still on his feet. Ball comes out at the end there, and let's see who comes up with it. The official signal possible. As that one came out, and that one will be Pike, Red Devils ball, and an early turnover, and Austin Roberts with a fumble.
So, Jesse, are we maybe seeing some ESPN nerves come into play here? It definitely is a big game. A rare fumble there by Austin Roberts. Stripped out there at the end. So, hey, Pike's going to have a nice opportunity to come on and get something going. And you really don't want to give the ball to Brett Lyles without having 7 points on the board.
It's unfortunate. Had enough for the first down there for the Carmel Greyhounds. This defensive secondary is going to be a little short tonight without Jim Soderstrom. Lost to an injury, but great to see him out here tonight supporting his Hounds as the first snap is taken by the Pike Red Devils. Run off the left tackle. He's going to be wrestled down at about the 44-yard line, and that one is Taylor Sanders, a senior 5'10 running back on the carry.
And Sanders has been hot thus far. They use him a lot, and man, he is able to pound it up. We saw that game. Last game, Pike was playing Lawrence North and just came out. The run was working so well. They're able to run him off the guard and the tackle, and right there we saw a great glimpse of Taylor Sanders.
And Lyles will take the snap, looks over Sanders this time, screen pass to the right side, has a first down across the 40-yard line. He's going to be wrestled down by Alex Akins, and that defensive secondary for the Carmel Greyhounds. The Red Devils have a first down after two plays. 10:59 remaining in the first quarter. Still no score. First drive of the night for the Pike Red Devils. They are in Greyhound territory at the 38-yard line. They will line up first and 10 off of that right hash. They come up five wide set, three out to his left from the shotgun formation. Lyles takes the snap, has all day to throw, looks screen pass. Sanders once again, he's going to be brought down after about a gain of three at the 35-yard line. So going with some quick slants and quick screens, and it's all been Taylor Sanders so far tonight. That will bring up about a second and eight coming up for the Pike Red Devils. Dominic Booth will be lined up to the right side of Lyles. So they kind of go with a similar formation that we have seen, kind of that wing T as they put a man in motion now. The option, screen pass over to Sanders, left side. Shakes a tackler, but Akins will bring him down at the 30-yard line. Good tackle, stopping him from getting the first down. Will be third and two.
Give credits to Alex Akins. He's made quite a name for himself. Only a sophomore cornerback. 22 tackles thus far. Again, five assists. But here's the stat that really stands out. He's got an interception already. Look for him to create havoc, not only in that backfield, not only in that relief team, but in the coverage as well.
Keep your eye on Booth, almost lined up as a tight end here, as Lyles will go under center. Single back formation, looks over towards the sideline. He has one wide out to his right. 10-10 remaining in the first. First, third down of the night for Pike. Takes the snap, hands that one off, right side. Murdoch can't chase him down. He's at the 25-yard line, the 20-yard line. He'll be wrestled down close to the 21-yard line, and the secondary having to make the tackle on that one.
You know, here's the reason why Pike is so deadly is because they run the play action almost as much as they do with the run, which is something you want to have as an offense because you're keeping the defense off guard. And so when you've got a third and short, it's great to be able to almost keep the defense guessing. Are you going to pass it with a play action boot out to around side, or are you going to actually hand the ball off?
Wilkerson gets this one once again, bounces out right side after the juke move. He'll be pushed out of bounds by Zach Woods after about a gain of eight. So two consecutive gains of eight there by Wilkerson. One to get the first down and another moving him inside the red zone. So now moving inside the Carmel 20-yard line, they line up at the 16. Will be about a second and one for Pike as we get a couple substitutions coming in. Landon Sinis is going to come in for the secondary. Zach Woods is going to jog off the field. 9:50 remaining in the first quarter. Still no score here at Carmel Stadium. Shotgun formation, three wide out to his left, one out to his right. Sanders in the backfield, looks to pass, quick pass over towards that right side. His man has it, connects with his receiver. That one will be Talfero with the reception. Will be 9:45 remaining in the first. They have enough for the first down. Will be a first and goal from the 8. Couple substitutions. We've seen a very efficient Pike offense coming out firing here tonight.
First and goal.
Split back formation, handed up Wilkerson up the middle. Wilkerson trying to barrel through. Mitch Davis is going to make the stop at about the 1 foot line there. Second and inches coming up for the Carmel Greyhounds. A touchdown saving tackle by Davis. Clock ticking away here in the first. 9:26. Still no score. Pike knocking on the door of the Carmel end zone. Lyles trying to hurry it up to the line of scrimmage. They go same formation with Sanders and Wilkerson in the backfield. Bunch at the line. Wilkerson up the middle. Will dive into the end zone, and Pike is up 6-0.
Touchdown, Pike.
So just like that, having a short field to work with, and Lyles leads his team on a 52-yard drive in less than 2 minutes. Well, 6-0 Pike. And what did you see from that offense there, John, off that first drive?
Well, I think the only word to describe that drive was machinery. They moved the ball upfield just like a well-oiled machine. It was like clockwork, you know? They were able to really open up some holes offensively. You got to give credit to that line there. Opened up some holes, were able to create Wilkerson and Sanders, two backs who are very versatile, who are almost the same kind of a back.
And they're going for two, folks. Wilkerson's going to try to dive into the end zone. It's going to be close depending on the spot. And it doesn't look like he made it in. The signal from Sennar says no, and that is the fact, and it will remain 6-0 Pike.
Well, and like I was saying, Jesse, it just takes one run to make something happen right there. It also takes one stop. And, Jesse, we have seen so many games this season that have come down to 1 or 2 points. And so the decision to go for two and try to extend that lead to 8 backfires on Pike, and now they've only got 6 points. And if I've got a quarterback like John Lampe and Isaac James, I'm not really stressing the fact that they put 6 points on the board. You've got a kicker like Adam Kramer, too, who's put up 3 field goals this year as well, 3 for 3, 100%. You got a lot of weapons, and, you know, the difference between 6 and 7 points, that's a lot.
And I love how you mentioned the kicking game there with Kramer. Hasn't missed an extra point attempt since the first week against Arsenal Tech. That one, very hostile game. As we saw, a lot of pressure from the defensive side on both ends between Carmel and Arsenal Tech there. But 9:13 remaining in the first quarter, Pike will take a 6-0 lead. And, John, what do you think the offense needs to do? Who are you bringing out as your quarterback on this next drive for the Carmel Greyhounds? We saw Isaac James come out. No rushing attempts, surprisingly enough, on the Carmel's first drive. But you had Lampe come in, converted on the 3rd and 10. But a fumble by Roberts ended that drive.
You know, I still got to give it to John Lampe. He's the senior leader, and obviously he came out and completed his assignment. He made a great pass, and that one was on Austin Roberts. He dropped that ball. He fumbled that. He turned that over. John Lampe walks off the field a champion right there. Again, they're a cohesive unit, and so they have to come together now in this scenario and run well-oiled just as well as Pike did. But I think here's what they've got to do differently on this drive. They've got to be just as complex as Pike was. And it's funny, Pike's reputation as just kind of that unpredictable offense, we've seen him before, they were able to run it almost every single time, and it really is a mind game. And so I think Carmel's got to come out here saying, how are we going to get in Pike's head? How are we going to stir some things up, make some things happen, and make them think about what happens before the even play goes? I like the hard count that John Lampe chooses to use. I think that's a great call. I say air it out a little bit.
And on that last drive, off those 52 yards that Pike was able to accumulate, 33 of them coming on the ground. So the rushing game between Sanders, we saw Sanders plenty early getting him down the field, and then Wilkerson inside the 20 to finish him off. So a very impressive job on the ground there. Considering the Carmel defense, that front seven, we should probably expect them to brush up on that in the next drive.
Well, and we're also seeing something that we don't really get to talk about a lot, and that's the idea that we really didn't see Isaac James coming out throwing. And we talked about it in the pregame. We thought that's kind of John Lampe's role. And so what we thought was going to happen is John Lampe would just come onto the field, and he'd hand the ball off, run some play action, and kind of be a balanced quarterback and stay in there most of the game. But instead, they come out and throw a curveball. Isaac James throws the ball twice. I like the call. I just don't know if maybe that's the right strategy to take when you've got a very talented defense like Pike.
And they will be kicking this one away back deep. And it will be Andrew Marr, the senior kicker for Pike, kicking it back towards Perkins. And that one up in the air towards Roberts again. That one bouncing backwards, and they're going to have to jump on top of that one. Cameron Hunt bobbled it a little bit. Carmel will get possession. but not with some loss in field position there, I guess you could say, the least. They're going to start about their own 11-yard line. Roberts actually eventually coming down with that one. Some miscommunication between Cameron Hunt and Austin Roberts as Hunt called for that fair catch, but let the ball bounce behind both of them.
So some tough field position here for the Grahams at about the 12-yard line. They're getting close to being backed up to their end zone. Jesse, we're kind of seeing a slow start here from the Greyhounds. Not a good sign when Pike is really firing on all cylinders.
Isaac James is going to try to end that right here as he jogs out onto the field. 9:13 remaining in the first quarter. Again, Pike is leading 6-0 off of their first drive touchdown. Going flex bone set, too wide. They put Perkins in motion, takes the snap, hands out one up the middle. Shakir Pascal barreling through, gets to about the 19-yard line. Solid gain of 6 on first down.
And that is why I picked Shakir Pascal as my impact player of the game. I think Pascal's the kind of guy you can hand the ball off. He can get you 5 or 6 yards almost every carry. You're looking at a 2nd and 4. I mean, you got to be happy with that. You can move the ball down in 18 plays for a nice score, put 7 points on the board, you're back in the ballgame.
Same formation here for Isaac James. He tries to go hard count. They put Roberts in motion this time, takes a snap. He keeps this one up the middle. James comes across to about the 23-yard line, 24. He has enough for the first down. Two rushes now, a complete opposite direction from their first drive. Two plays and a first down. So 8:38 remaining. The clock stops per high school rules after a first down. Trailing by 6, and the Carmel Greyhounds are getting into respectable field position here. A nice balanced attack. 11 passing yards and 12 rushing yards. We'll keep an eye on that throughout the night. Pascal comes back into the backfield now. Looks like we might have an official's timeout here as they're going to discuss equipment on the side of Pike here. Two wide set when the Carmel Greyhounds reset right in the middle of the field. They have Baldridge out to the left and Baldwin out to the right. Same flex bone formation with Perkins, Roberts, and Pascal all lining up in the backfield as James will go back under center. From his own 24-yard line, Perkins runs in motion. He gets the pitch off the right side, has some room now, heading towards the sideline. Tries to cut back across the middle of the field. He'll be pushed out at about the 27-yard line, so a gain of about 4. We'll set up a 2nd and 6.
He was pushed out of bounds by Tyler Sanders.
So 8:28 remaining in the first. 2nd and 7 is the official spot as he's pushed out at the 27 off the right hash now. They're going to spread the field out a little more towards that left side. Same formation set. Perkins goes in motion again. He has to hold up. They look back towards the sideline as he will have to reset. So plenty of time left on the play clock. 14 seconds for Isaac James as he calls at the line of scrimmage. Under center. Takes the snap. Hands that one off to Pascal up the middle. Pascal's going to be stopped close to the line of scrimmage, but able to fight for a couple more yards, setting up a 3rd and manageable close to the 29-yard line.
And I like the misdirection they're running here with a lot of the motion there from that flex bone spot. I like that they're using that falcon position very well. I really like how they're doing that. A lot of these, you're going to see Chris Perkins almost run in motion, then stop, and they call it. You got that triple option that comes up. They can hand the ball off to Perkins or they can pitch it out to Austin Roberts. There's so many things they can do. I love it.
Pascal heads to the sideline. A handoff is to Perkins up the middle. He fights for some extra yardage, but he's brought down at the 32-yard line. Now decision time for the Carmel Greyhounds as it will be about 4th and 2. Isaac James trying to plead his case a little bit here, but he's going to jog off the field, and Adam Kramer is going to come out on the field for the first time tonight to punt.
Smart call. You don't want to not convert and then give Pike the ball on the 33-yard line. They're headed almost to promised land. You don't want to do that. It's a smart call to punt it away and make Pike earn their points.
Kramer, a very consistent punter, been a great asset to the team all year. 7:15 and counting remaining in the first as he fields this one cleanly. This one up in the air, a high spiraling punt. That's going to land at about the 30-yard line, and that one's on the ground, and we're going to have ourselves a penalty as Mitch Davis comes up with the fumble recovery. But contact a little early back with the receiver and a member of the Carmel Greyhounds. Two penalty flags back at about the 25-yard line. So 7:03 remaining. This could be a big field position gain for the Pike Red Devils as the Carmel Greyhound defense jogs out onto the field. Right now it stands at about the 32-yard line. Still no indication, but Carmel, assuming they have... They have to go out on defense here. Will be catch interference against the Carmel Greyhounds, and that one will move Pike up. So that's something that we really haven't seen too much from a lot of these Mick teams, are the penalties being too much of an issue. Great fundamental football teams just getting there a little early on the kick catch.
Well, but this season so far, you know, the Greyhounds have given up 381 yards off of penalties. You know, they've got 38 penalties this season, and it's hard to do at this high school level, but at the same time, it's not. There really are no excuses for penalties. I mean, every coach will tell you that the worst thing in the world is a penalty. It's the one thing that can take all the momentum out of your team with really no defensive effort. Again, 7:03, folks, here. Score is 6-0. If you're just joining us, I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. It's a fantastic day. We've got the game actually on ESPNU. But again, here, 91.3 WHGA, if you're a radio guy like myself, you like the call, you like the imagination, everything, we're going to do our best to provide it for you. Again, these teams kind of taking a little bit of a break to get together. Something we really haven't had to deal with either is this whole commercial time that the factor of ESPN is bringing in. It's going to test our knowledge a little bit and how we react to these situations. But, Jesse, I know you got a little bit of a score update for us so far, maybe from that Indy High School sports a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about that.
We got some Hamilton County action going on between the Westfield Shamrocks and Noblesville Millers. And Westfield, actually, in the second quarter, is going to come out with the lead there, 10-7. So a very close game between some Hamilton County rivals.
And you see why that's important, folks, is because Noblesville is one of those teams in Carmel's sectional. They came out really hot, came out surprising a lot of people, came out to, I think, a 3-0 start it was. You know, it was kind of like a double take for all of us here. We really didn't expect Noblesville to do anything. Again, they do have their best team they've really had in a long time. But look out for Westfield, too. Westfield's an underrated team. They've come really close, you know, like even to teams like Fishers with that talented quarterback of Connor Christensen. You know, Fishers is another story, too, in that sectional. Only beat Zionsville 17-7 last game.
And we talk about the Mick Conference. It's always about the conference play, where you have the teams like Pike. You also have the teams like Warren Central. But keep your eye on the Hoosier Crossroads Conference there. They have the likes of the Fishers. You also throw in the Hamilton Southeasterns, a very talented conference here in Hamilton County and a little bit on the outskirts. Two very talented conferences in close proximity to each other. And Pike is going to start their next offensive drive at the Carmel 48-yard line after that penalty. So the 15 yards will cost the Greyhounds quite a bit here. And again, this is where the Carmel Greyhounds defense was almost at their best last week with their backs against the wall, starting a drive in their own territory. 7:03 remaining in the first. Pike leads 6-0 as we are back to football. Four wide set. Lyles takes the snap. We have whistles and penalty flags in all directions. This one immediately at the snap. See what the officials go with here. A lot of movement possible at the line of scrimmage. Will be false start against Pike, and that is going to back him up into their own territory now on the wrong side of the 50 for Pike. That's going to be a first and 15.
And so one of those fortunate mistakes, I guess you can say, for the Greyhounds. So they're actually with no work being done on their part. They're going to force Pike back a little bit here, and so Pike's going to have a tougher challenge than before.
Shotgun split back set. Lyles takes a snap, hands it off to the tailback. Wilkerson once again across the 50-yard line. He's going to gain some of those penalty yards back, second and 11 on the way. The clock continues to tick away. A pretty quick-moving game so far. 6:49 remaining in the first. And Pike leading 6-0. They come back out. Shotgun set four wide this time. Three out to his right from the left hash at the Carmel 49-yard line. Takes the snap, looks screen pass over to Dominic Booth, and Dominic Booth heads up the right sideline, getting close to a first down, depending on the spot, and he's going to have enough there at about the 37-yard line. An impressive run, and that's why he's so dangerous.
Exactly. Dominic Booth is one of those guys that you can really hand the ball, pass it to him really anywhere on the field, and he'll make something happen. A lot like Austin Roberts, you got to watch out for him. He's a deep threat, but he can do a lot of damage if you give him the ball short. Yards after the catch is the name of the game for Dominic Booth.
First and 10, shotgun split. Back set, option run here for Lyles. Pitches it out to Wilkerson, who tries to head towards the sideline. He's going to be pushed out of bounds after about a gain of 3. Second and 7 on the way as they are across the Carmel 35-yard line. 6:26 remaining in the first quarter. 6-0 remains your score. The ball will be set exactly at the 35-yard line off that right hash here for Lyles. And this offense has been moving quite efficiently on almost every play, it seems like. Shotgun set, same formation, except the receivers are two out to his left and one out to his right. takes the snap. Conway comes up with the blitz, but a handoff to Sanders up the middle. He's going to get about 2 yards, and the Carmel Greyhound defense now in business sets up about a 3rd and 6.
And, you know, a lot of times we see Carmel kind of come out slow and lethargic, but the defense really hasn't done that at all, and they're give them a lot of credit. Again, I know we keep saying this, but damage control, they're just so good at really bailing that offense out. And honestly, I personally believe because of that, the defense's tenacity, the Greyhounds' offense has really been able to work.
3rd down and 6. The pass is incomplete to Dominic Booth. That one's slipping through his fingers. And Noah Burks putting some confidence in your sophomore on single coverage there on Dominic Booth is going to set up a 4th and 6. That offense staying out there on the field for the time being as Lyles appears to be winning his appeal for the 4th and 6 attempt here from the Carmel 33-yard line.
So a rare drop there, much like the fumble by Austin Roberts. So the 1 and 2 guy is struggling a little early here.
Here is the fake carry. Lyles has some space, looking deep over the middle, finds his man, and he's going to be wrestled down at about the 5-yard line. And a great kind of trick play by Nick McGrath, who's listed as the tight end. No one covering him over the middle. He's able to gain the first down and a lot more.
We saw McGrath come alive last game, actually part of one of those play-action touchdowns. Pike loves to run that. P.A. Boot, they send that tight end out over the right side of the field. Wide open, good play by Pike.
A gain of about 28 yards as Wilkerson is spinning his way into the end zone, going right up the middle. And just like that, kind of deja vu for the Carmel Greyhounds, it's 12-0. 5:36 remaining in the first, and the Pike offense has been doing a lot of it on the ground, I must admit. But just like that, a big pass play really opens it up. 105 yards total for them in the first quarter, with 58 passing yards and 48 rushing. Let's see if they are attempting to go for two here. It looks like they are. Lyles is out on the field trying to get those 2 points back that they missed on their last attempt. They go a true full house set with three backs in the backfield. Lyles under center, takes a snap. Play action once again under a lot of pressure. They're looking into the end zone. That one, he just has to throw it away. Incomplete. It will remain 12-0. So 0 for 2 on two-point conversions tonight are Pike. 5:36 remaining here in the first quarter. The Carmel Greyhounds are going to get another shot on offense here. And, John, what is the strategy going into this drive?
Oh, man, right now you just got to get some yards. And I mean, I haven't seen a problem with the play calling. In fact, I like the risks they're taking. I like the complexity to it. I think you keep going with that flex bone. It was working for you. But I think you're going to have to start throwing the ball on second down. I think you got to start mixing some things up. You can't be predictable on first and second down and expect to win ball games, especially against a team like Pike. Now, Jesse, if I can go on and on about Pike here for a second, what a way to come out. Put up 12 points on the board. We were not expecting that. Didn't think that was going to happen at all. But the way Pike's offense has been working the ball so well, so unpredictably, I'm very, very impressed.
The thing I'm most impressed about is the play of their quarterback, Brent Lyles, so far. And he's been doing it mostly without the work of his star with Dominic Booth. He did have the one reception to pick up the first down. But nonetheless, showing play action. He's coming out option runs. Wilkerson has been dominant so far. 2 rushing touchdowns for him. An impressive run here. The Carmel Greyhounds defense making 2 stops on what could be pivotal 2-point conversions.
And I think we always hear that saying, you know, a good defense is a great offense. But also, you got to almost credit that to the play action a little bit. The play action pass, if you think about it, that's kind of defense in a sense. You're faking out someone and doing something else. It's almost like you're putting up your guard and you're saying, hey, watch me, see what I can do. And so I like how that's keeping, obviously, a very talented Carmel Greyhound defense on their toes. We don't see a lot of teams who come in here to Carmel Stadium and freak out our defense, you know. So that's kind of the thought pattern is Mike has done a great job of balancing it. And I love the complexity. You'll hear me say that word 100 times tonight. But you know I'm a big believer that if you can keep someone on their toes, you can win any ball game. You can run any play against them. You can run trick plays, you know, play conservative, whatever you want to do. But if you're an unpredictable ball club, you're going to win ball games.
And a quick defense of the Carmel defense, no pun intended there. But both of those drives starting across midfield into Carmel territory or right outside about 5-10 yards out. So great field position for the Pike Red Devils all night. And we saw that last week against Warren Central, their first 2 drives, able to put up 6 points. This time, Pike's able to convert, execute, and get touchdowns rather than the field goal attempts.
And we also haven't seen the defense really become tired. I think that's something that the defense really hasn't had to worry about fatigue thus far this season. But Pike, the way they're working the ball, the way the time is running off the clock here, they're a fast-paced team. And sooner or later, if you're keeping that offense on the sideline and the defense is doing all the work, you're going to get tired and points are going to be put up. Pike's really going to start to draw away with this game if you don't put points on the board.
And something I liked from the Carmel offense on their last drive was the establishing of the run early on in the drive and then stalled on third down. I think they need to come back out with that run-first mentality. But like you said, if you get a good run on first down, why not take a shot downfield? You got the big players to do it. As this one is going to be kicked away once again by Andrew Marr. This time is going to be taken up. That one looks like Isaac Peasley. This time the linebacker is going to have himself a kickoff return. And not a bad one at that as he gets to the 30-yard line.
Can we pause and take a second to just talk about Andrew Marr? Okay, he's a senior kicker. And here's something unusual we've seen about him. When he kicks the ball, it's almost like a squib kick. But he kicks it so high that it's able to get a distance. You're never going to see him kick the ball into the end zone. You're probably going to see him kick the ball actually at that 30-yard line. That's something we saw with Lawrence North that really caught me off guard. After watching him for a while, I was kind of like, well, is he doing this on purpose or is he kicking it as hard as he can? But I love that kickoff strategy, and they do an incredible job on that return team.
Four wide pistols set here for John Lampies. He takes over the quarterbacking duties for the Carmel Greyhounds. Takes the snap, a little bit of an option this time. Left tackle Perkins has some open room. Heads towards the sideline at midfield. He is away at the 45, pushed out in a great run, establishing the run once again. But we do have a penalty flag back at about the 41-yard line. And John Lampies heading backwards already, along with the rest of the Carmel offense. And that's a demoralizing feeling for Chris Perkins. He sees daylight ahead of him on a play that happens behind him. And that one's actually going to back him up more than in the situation they were.
And see, a penalty, that's unfair to the entire team. It's just so hard as a running back, too, to get your head back in the game and try to do it again. It's almost like that idea that, you know, I worked so hard for this and you're just going to take it away, you know. But as a team, they got to get back together. They got to work. They got to go out and put some more points on the board, put some more yards on the ground, air it out a little bit, keep things going. They're coming off to a good start. You can't let a penalty bog you down.
Negates what would have been a 25-yard gain there by Perkins. And that one is going to be a spot of the foul. So if it's any consolation, the Carmel Greyhounds are actually going to have a 1st and 8 from their own 32. So better than the ball spot they had before, but still 23-yard loss there. Lampy keeps this one, now pitches it over. Perkins heads towards the right sideline off the option. Tries to shake a tackler, and he's going to be wrestled down at about the 33-yard line, possibly gaining a yard on the play. But again, it was 1st and 8, so 2nd and 7 is on the way. About 5 minutes to go in the first. Pike still remains leading 12-0, and Lampy will stay out onto the field for the Carmel Greyhound offense.
2nd and 7.
2nd and 7 once again from the 33-yard line, right hash of the Carmel Greyhounds. 4 wide set, 3 out to his left for John Lampy out of the true shotgun. Perkins remaining in the game after 2 consecutive carries. Lampy takes a snap, looking for Roberts, right side, finds him, 40-yard line. Busts through a defender on a huge hit there, and 42-yard line, he's going to be brought out of bounds. 1st down and 10, and rarely do we see on the offensive side of the ball a play that could be a candidate for hit of the week.
And those are the hits that will take some miles off your halfback. Right there, you got to be careful there. Nice job by Pike to get physical.
So 4:40 remaining in the first. The Carmel Greyhounds have a 1st down. As Lampy will come back into that true pistol formation. Now making a true shotgun as Perkins moves to his side. 4 wide set again. Takes a snap. Blitz coming, looking over the middle. Finds Roberts once again. He's going to be brought down at about the 46. Gain of 4 in a passing game now starting to get heated up for the Hounds. 4:30 exactly and counting as they are at the 46-yard line, knocking on the door of Pike Red Devil territory. In the middle of the field. Moving around this time, they're going to put Roberts in the slot. 3 out to his left, 1 out to his right from the pistol. Perkins remains in the backfield as he has all drive. Roberts in motion, takes a snap. Lampy keeps this one. Option run, pitches it out. Roberts now, 45-yard line. Sheds the tackler at the 50. He's going to go out of bounds, creating some extra space for himself. Sets up a 3rd and 2.
It's unfair when you got a guy like Austin Roberts. He should be brought down about 3 yards behind the line. But he's just so big that he's able to shake off those tackles to get 4 or 5 extra yards. Sets up a 3rd and short. If you want anyone to convert on 3rd downs, it sure is your guy, John Lampy. Got a cannon of an arm. Watch for him to maybe air the ball out here. Maybe see some play action.
Flexbone set for the Hounds. 2 wide Pascal in the backfield. Perkins moves in motion. Now has to reset as Lampe looks over towards the sideline. 4:04 remaining in the first quarter. 12-0 Pike lead from the 49-yard line. Lampe takes the snap. The handoff to Pascal up the middle. Tries to squirt through to the opposite 49-yard line. And now, once again, just short of the first down, is going to set up a 4th-and-1.
Here's something to consider. That fourth down efficiency for the Greyhounds this season, 40%, all right? They've tried 8 times out of 20, but here's you know, even the worst stat to me, I guess. Third down efficiency, only 35%. And obviously John Lampe's going to get his appeal. He's got a shot at it. He's got a better chance on fourth down than he does on third.
Same formation set for the Hounds. Pascal remains in the backfield. Perkins moves in motion and now has to reset as Lampe looks over towards the sideline. No one biting on the hard count that time from John Lampe. 3:38 remaining in the first. Clock continues to tick away. In Pike Red Devil territory, Lampe under center, takes the snap, hands it off once again. Pascal's going to barrel through to the 46. He has enough for the first down, and a chain gain is going to start moving again. So 3:28, the clock will stop here in the first quarter. First down and 10. And they're driving into Pike territory now at the 46. Trying to get some points on the board and cut into that 12-point deficit. John Lampe has been on the field for this entire drive. Again, flex bone set too wide. Pascal down back in the backfield. Perkins in motion. Lampe looks to pass, looking deep down the right side of the field for Baldwin. That one's up in the air, and that one is almost intercepted there by Pike. And Thomas Baldwin playing a little bit of defense for himself. And Robert Williams almost has himself a turnover. So 2nd and 10 after the incompletion. Had single coverage down there on that right sideline for Baldwin. Just not able to connect. 3:17 remaining in the first. At the 46-yard line, lining up off that right hash, Lampe looks over at the sideline for the signaling. Perkins checks back into the game as a tailback. Let's see if they go back to more traditional formations here. They're going empty backfield, it looks like. And now Perkins, on a little bit of miscommunication, is going to head back towards the backfield, almost lining up as a receiver. 4-wide set. Roberts moves in motion. It's split the difference now. 2 on each side. Lampe takes the snap. Has time to throw. Looking over the middle. Finds Roberts. And he's heading towards the sideline now. 40-yard line. Has a first down and more. 30-yard line. Cuts back middle of the field. Takes a shot. And is brought down at the 22. And that is just how dangerous Austin Roberts can be. Outrunning everybody to head to the sideline.
Credit the play calling there for recognizing the disadvantage with Austin Roberts. Right over the middle. Wide open. Nice little dump off pass there by John Lampe. And let Austin Roberts do the rest. He can run like the races. Almost was able to break it out for the touchdown. Cutting it back upfield. Nice gain. Austin Roberts, John Lampe.
Lines up in the slot this time from the pistol. Lampe takes the snap off the option. Roberts gets the pitch off the right side. 20-yard line. Has some room. Daylight now at the 15-yard line. He's going to be wrestled down. And a solid gain there of about 9 yards for the Cromwell Greyhounds moving inside the red zone.
Brought down by Anthony Green.
That brings up 2nd down and 2 is the official at the 15-yard line. 2:44 remaining in the first. Carmel trying to cut it at 12-0 deficit. And the offense has been looking great on this drive with a balanced attack. 47 pass yards to 37 rushing. That total of 84. They're flashing up on that scoreboard. Flex bone set for the Hounds again as Pascal checks back into the game. 2 wide. From the 15, Roberts moves in motion. Pascal up the middle this time. He's still trying to fight for a couple more extra yards. He gets across the 14-yard line. He has himself a first down. And that's what Shakir Pascal does best, limiting his life about 3-4 yards at a time, but they are a very effective 3-4 yards.
Again, averaging, like you said, 4.3 yards a carry. He's not that guy who's going to break it out for 70 yards, but he sure is a reliable back when it comes to short down conversions. Short yardage conversions on 3rd and 4th down. And he's done quite a good job already this game.
Pearson checks back into the game as Pascal's going to take a seat over on the sideline. 4-wide set from the pistol. They split the difference. Lampe takes a snap, hands that one off. Perkins trying to dance to the outside. He's still moving, backpedaling now to about the 5-yard line. And he's going to be brought down, and that's going to be about a 2nd and 2. And Chris Perkins kind of going in reverse there, but sets up about a 2nd and 4. Will be officially at the 6, under 2 to play in the first, and a knocking on the door of closing in on that deficit, 12-0. Looks like they're going again with the pistol formation, 4-wide set, 3 out to his right. Lampe putting Roberts in motion this time, off the option. Lampe decides to keep this one. He's going to take a big shot at about the 6. He's going to be brought down 6-7 yard line, about a loss of 1. That's going to set up 3rd down. for the record here, it is possible to gain the first down before the end zone, as the first down marker is about at the 2.5-yard line, but 3rd and 5 is the official at the 7. Minute 15 remaining in the first quarter. Still 12-0 Pike. Lampe comes back, same formation set. 3 out to his right, 1 to his left. Perkins remains in the backfield. Lampe looking to pass, has all day. Looking over the middle, that one's off the hands of Baldwin and almost intercepted. Baldwin racing back to knock that one away again from the defender. That one's Robert Williams. That's 4th and 5.
And man, that was a rocket. John Lampe making sure if his receiver didn't catch it, neither was anyone else there. Still a scary play thrown into the end zone. Almost intercepted, like you said, Jesse, and this brings up a big time fourth down here. Are you going to send Adam Kramer on the field? Or it looks like John Lampe's probably going to win his appeal here.
That's twice tonight there for John Lampe on those appeals. 4th and 5. 4-wide set. They split the difference from the middle of the field at the 7. Pistol formation for Lampe. Lampe takes the snap, looks for the quick screen over in the end zone. Baldwin gets it inside the end zone for the touchdown, keeps 2 feet in, and shake of Santonio Holmes in the Super Bowl makes it 6-12. Pike still has the lead.
Jesse, two words right there. Priority mail. John Lampe shipping that ball straight to the hands of Thomas Baldwin. He just went express, folks.
Using some colorful vocabulary is my colorful analyst here, John Perkins, making it entertaining for everyone, but that makes it a one-possession game, 12-6. Pike still has the lead, but here's where we see those extra points come into effect. If Kramer can knock this one down, it's a 5-point game. Hold is good, kick is up, and the kick will also be good for Adam Kramer. No good, actually. They're waving that one off. That one awfully close, but it still will remain a 6-point game.
Coach Kevin Wright now questioning that one there. We all thought that one went through, but obviously not. So again, 12-6 here, folks. Still a 6-point game. You can't complain if you're the Greyhounds. You just put 6 points on the board. An incredible pass from John Lampe to Thomas Baldwin. Man, I'm impressed.
And I gotta love the balance of this Carmel offense on that drive. 54 passing yards to 45 rushing for the total of 99. Showing they can get it done both on the ground and through the air. This Carmel offense is starting to roll a little bit.
And Jesse, these first two drives for the Greyhounds are perfect pictures of two different teams. That first drive was a great picture of a Carmel team who was confused, who didn't know their assignments, who were lackadaisical, who maybe felt the pressure, yada, yada, go on and complain and be cynical. But things were not getting done. But this last drive, you really saw this team kind of succinct together, come together, work like a clock, work like a machine. Great play calling, too. You got to give credit to that coaching staff. Way to run the ball extremely well. I love it. Off tackle, run it up the gut, run it with Shakir Pascal and with Chris Perkins. Just an all-around great drive there. That's the Carmel football we're used to seeing.
Quick score update for you, that Westfield-Noblesville game. The Millers take the lead at halftime, 14-10. So, again, we're going to keep an eye on that contest throughout the night. But Miller storming back after trailing early at the 4-point lead at half as Kramer is going to kick that one up and away. A good kick at about the 5-yard line. That one's going to be taken up by the return man. That one looks like Booth. And Booth's going to be wrestled down at about the 30-yard line, trying to contain him as much as they can, are the Greyhounds.
Hey, but the special teams, you know, they did a nice job of containing the returner, of course, Booth. You always see that with the Greyhounds. They're very, very disciplined on that kickoff team. Talk about guys like Noah Burks, who comes up big. Even the sophomore, we'll probably call his name a lot more tonight.
And give credit to Nick Sinar there on the tackle, stopping him right in his tracks. So this is the first time we've really seen the Carmel Greyhounds have some field to work with here, as the Pike Red Devils are going to start at the 30-yard line off that right hatch. And they're going, it looks like, a possible wildcat formation as Booth takes the snap, heads towards that right sideline. Conway slips up, but Ryan Sondels with a huge hit is going to throw him back a couple of yards. He loses one, and Ryan Sondels, that's the first time we called his name tonight, but what a way to show up.
And so Ryan Sondels now takes his tackles to 28 on the season. What a fantastic player. Got to give credit to that that linebacking core. They're all very talented, made up of course, Sam Story and Mitch Lindgren as well. They're going to play a big role in tonight's game.
4-wide set, but Booth jogs off the field. This one's going to be pitched over towards Sanders. He's racing towards that sideline, has some daylight in front of him, cuts upfield at about the 37-yard line. He's going to be pushed out of bounds officially at the 36. Solid gain of about 6 yards there, setting up third and manageable. And it looks like the clock is going to run out here on the first quarter. But what an exciting one. When we return, 3rd and 3 for the Pike Red Devils from their own 37. Again, Pike leads 12-6.